Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
There was a story about a man by the name of Charles McKinley. As they may hear this news story. This happened several years ago, but I want you to listen to this. A number of years ago, it was on CNN, and this guy named Charles McKinley, he wanted to get back home. And I kind of want to give you a backstory, because all this is going to tie in together. But he was at a desperate place. His girlfriend had broke up with him. He had moved to New York, and I mean, he was like sinking, going in immense debt every month, and he was just in a desperate place. Matter of fact, as they interviewed him, he said that what he wanted to do was commit suicide, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it. That's how, in a place of this loneliness, of discouragement, of desperation, he was. And he couldn't afford to get back home, and so here's what he did, is that he got a crate, and it cost like some $800 to send back to Dallas, and so he paid for that shipping. And then, so he dropped this crate off at UPS, and when nobody was looking, he climbed into it. And so he couldn't afford to get back home to Dallas, and so he mailed himself in a crate. I mean, so he talks about, you know, he knew that there's a possibility that if he got on a plane that didn't have a pressurized cabin, I mean, it would have killed him. And so, I mean, the interview was just insane. He's talking about this. And so what ended up happening, he did make it back home, and his parents were signing for the package. And as his parents were signing for this crate, the delivery guy looks in, and he sees his eyeballs out of the crate looking at him. Could you imagine? And so the delivery guy calls the police. The police show up, end up arresting him, because he had outstanding warrants. That goes, you take care of that stuff, people. And so, I mean, just a crazy, mind-boggling story. But what drove him to that place in his life was just extreme depression, extreme discouragement. The lowest point of his life. Desperation will drive us to do the unimaginable. Desperation has either got us either to a place of rock bottom, or it's gotten us to the miracle. And as I will think about this, I want you to look at our scriptures now. It's Psalm chapter 42 and verse 5 and 6 and Proverbs 13, 12. And let's look at that together. It says this: "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God." And then he says it again: "Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar." And Proverbs 13, 12, maybe some of us we've heard this statement, we've heard this scripture: "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." And if all of us we're just honest with ourselves and honest with one another, I mean, all of us have faced moments of extreme discouragement. All of us have faced moments of desperation. All of us have faced moments where the hope that we had was really confronted and challenged. I mean, think about what the psalmist is writing. Why am I so discouraged? Why am I sad? Why am I deeply discouraged? Maybe you've asked those why questions yourself. And what I hope that I can communicate through these next few weeks as we talk about the hope of Christmas is that their hope is still alive. And the Holy Spirit still wants to plant inside of you, no matter what that storm has been, no matter what that difficulty has been, no matter even how that hope in your heart has been challenged, there is still hope. There is still hope for you. There is still hope for the miracle. There is still hope for the reconciliation. There is still hope for the work of God to take place. There is still hope. And we want to hope. We want to see the bright side of things. And you know what? But sometimes just we go through junk and we go through difficulties. I mean, sometimes we just can settle for a good mood, but God wants more for you than that. So many times the discouragement that happens in the wait, how we interpret what is right in front of us will determine. Whenever the battle happens, whenever the difficulty happens, when we're looking at that, we've got two ways to interpret that. Either we can interpret it and just be defeated, discouraged, go to discouragement, or we can go to a place of hope. And so I want to talk to you a few things about hope this morning. Number one is this: hope is always worth the wait. And I almost wanted to name the sermon that. I just wanted to park here, but hope is always worth the wait. Hope is always worth the wait. I mean, I want you to leave here this morning, and I want my voice to be in your head like your mama's voice is in your head. Hope is worth the wait. You know what I mean by that, right? You may ever hear their mom's voice in their head when you do something your mom told you not to do. Even as an adult, I still hear it. Todd, you better not do that. I want my voice to be like that in your heart. Hope is always worth the wait. I mean, I want you to process something just for a moment. We see, when you look at Scripture, where I believe that we see the gospel first introduced. The gospel is not first introduced in the Gospels. The gospel is not first introduced in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. The gospel is not first introduced in John 3:16. The gospel is first introduced in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And of course, this is after the fall. You know, Adam and Eve partake of the fruit, and God decrees their punishment. But the Lord says this to them in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15: "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring." And here's the key: "He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." And what that was the prophecy about the coming of Jesus. That was the prophecy of Emmanuel, God with us. And the gospel then is introduced that God had a plan. And he had a plan of hope for humanity. He had a plan of hope for us. And then we don't see it. This serpent began, and this deceiving that caused this fall that Adam and Eve partook of, that brought sin into the world. The offspring, of course, was the one that we're talking about now, is the one who, the reason why we celebrate Christmas. But see, then I want you to jump forward to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And I want us to look at that together. So first we read Genesis 3. Let's look at Matthew 1, 23, and look what it says. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. 4,000 years have passed from Genesis chapter 3 to Matthew chapter 1. And what I want to use that to do is illustrate to you this morning that hope is always worth the wait. Hope is always worth the wait. It is. I mean, when we're in that place of trying to hope, it will be difficult. But when you go through the prophecy of Jesus, of how many years it was before his actual coming, you read scriptures like in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, are the only a small village among the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come from you on my behalf." I mean, that was some 700 years before the birth of Christ. And so we see these prophecies unfolding, and we see them come to pass as we read through the Gospels. Hope is always worth the wait. Hope is always worth the wait. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, the vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. Look at your neighbor and say, "Wait patiently." Tell yourself, "Wait patiently." Anybody have a struggle with patience? If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. Listen, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Now, how do we wait but not be delayed? How do those things come together? I mean, isn't delay waiting, but we shouldn't wait, but it's going to delay? Let me tell you how that works, is that God's timing is always perfect. Always perfect. God is never late. He's never early. God is always right on time. But these things I plan, so they don't happen right away, God is telling us. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision, when the dream, when the thing that you're hoping for will be revealed, will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, don't get desperate. Things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue one single day. You may be asking the when questions. When, Lord? When are you going to answer my prayer? When is this going to happen? When am I going to see the fulfillment? Our culture, it hates to wait. I mean, I deal with impatience. It's a vice. I know. That probably makes you think less of me. Doctor's offices. What are they doing? If you make an appointment for 10 o'clock, and we have a doctor in the house, we may have a conversation later. I don't know what's going on, but you got to wait. Or traffic in this town. I mean, when I'm trying to get on my street, I got to wait 2 minutes. That's not right. Restaurants, Christmas presents. I mean, when I was a kid, I was always on the mission. My mom had to get really creative because I did. I mean, and my sisters, they'd get mad at me. They're like, Todd, you're ruining Christmas. I'm like, no, not. I can't wait. I'm going to find where those presents are hidden. I'm going to find out where they are. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Abraham was 99 before the child that God had promised. When that promise came to fruition, Moses tended sheep in the back 40 for 40 years before he ever became the deliverer of Israel. Joseph spent almost 2 decades in prison and as a servant before he was ever elevated to the place of rulership. David was anointed king, but waited years before he ever actually sat on the throne. And just for good measure, you got to remember that Lazarus waited in the grave for 4 days. What am I trying to say is that even when it looks dead, there's still hope. When the resurrection and the life steps on the scene. Number two is this. So number one is hope is worth the wait. Number two is this. Hope knows the impossible is possible. Hope knows the impossible is possible. Luke chapter 1 and verse 36, it says, what more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. And then we get to verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And so let's look at that. I mean, think about it. So here's the angel that had come to Mary and said, even though you're a virgin, you're going to have a child. You're just going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. His name's going to be Jesus. He's going to save people from their sins. And your cousin Elizabeth, she's too old to have a child, but the Lord has brought a miracle there, and she's going to have a child. And so for nothing will be impossible with God. So listen to me. First is always the promise. That's right. That's what gets our hopes up, right? Is when God gives the promise. And so here the angel is speaking that promise that she's going to bear a son, even though that she's still a virgin, that her cousin that is too old to have a child is going to have a child. So you've always got to remember it begins with the promise. When you read through Luke chapter 1 and you read through that passage of Scripture, well, let's look at it together. It's going to be on the screen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Verse 30, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have been found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He'll be a very great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he'll reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. It always begins with a promise. And I just want to remind you here this morning, maybe God's given you that promise, but maybe it was some time ago. Maybe you faced a lot of difficulties that have confronted that promise, that there seems to be nowhere in sight of that promise coming to fulfillment. It begins with a promise, but God always does what he says he will do. Our God cannot lie. And if he's given you a promise, it may be a promise that your whole household will be saved. It may be a promise that your spouse may be saved. It may be a promise that a reconciliation happened in your family. It may be a promise about a dream that's been put in your heart that you know only God can bring it true. It may be a promise. There's over 2,000 promises in Scripture, and you may be holding on to one of those promises, and that's what gets our hearts up. And then there has to be the decision. The next thing is the decision. And you got to look how Mary responds in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Mary responded. So the angel speaks all this to her. Verse 38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. There has to come to a moment that you decide that no matter what, you got to hold on to that promise. Because we're going to talk about a few things in a moment. There's going to be things that happen in your life that wants to shake that promise. But you've got to decide that you're going to hold on to that promise. You know, there's a thing, I think this relates, but you know, all of our years involved in youth camp, there was something we always told students. Because what you see so many times are these students that come to camp, God moves, God works, that God encounters them. And you see these life changes, you see these students experience God. But so many times what happens, right, what we see so many times is they come home and a reversion takes place and they go back. And what we always told students is this, is you've got to make the decision right now that no matter what, nothing is going to change your mind and what you're encountering right now. You've got to decide right now that no matter what, no matter when you go back to school, no matter what when you face what you left, you're going to decide right now that you're going to serve God. And it's no different for us as adults. When God gives you the promise, you've got to decide that no matter what, hell or high water, you're going to hold on to that promise. You're going to believe that God gave you that promise, and it's a decision. It's not a goosebump thing. It's not a snot bubble thing. It's not an emotional thing. It is a clear-cut choice to say, no matter what, I'm going to hold on to that promise that God gave me. I'm going to keep holding out hope to that promise that God gave me. But whenever you decide, I don't know why it is. That's one of my why questions when I get to heaven. Why, God, why the delay? That's the third thing. Why the delay? Now remember, we're talking about that the impossible becoming impossible. And on that road of travel, there is always a delay. Now, sometimes God does a miracle, and we're grateful, and when God touches and moves, and he does something in an instant, but so many times, there is a delay. You know, Elizabeth, the Bible tells us that she was barren. She was past years. I read somewhere this week that those that served in the temple, it was up until about age 50. So some believe that maybe she was around that age. We don't know for sure. But here the angel is telling him that she was going to have a child, even though she was past, she had been barren all these years. I don't have to go into detail about the birds and the bees, right? But we know that at the moment of conception, then in 9 months comes a baby, right? And so we know that Mary, there was time for that gestation to take place, and so it takes time. There's always a delay, so don't lose heart in the delay. Don't grow weary in doing well in the delay. Don't let the enemy convince you that the delay is the dead end. It's just a delay. God's going to bring about what he promised. And it always seems like there's difficulty, right? I mean, there's always that trial, that fire, that tribulation. I mean, when you're trying to hold on to a promise and there's difficulty. When you look at what happened in Jesus' life, we're going to skip past his birth a little bit and look in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, we read about something in verse 13. After the wise men were gone, the angel Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until you return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And so it was a decree given by Herod, right, to murder all the infant male children. I mean, that's difficulty, right? And not only that, but in verse 22, we see about that he learned that Herod was dead and there was a new ruler. But then he was warned again in a dream and then went to the region of Galilee. But all of this was to serve a purpose. And that is the key, because God has a view that you don't have. God's bird's eye view in his omnipotence and how he measures the universe by the span of his hand, God's view is different than your view. You see, all we see is the tree right in front of us when God sees the forest, right? Are you following me? And so what was going to happen was there was a prophecy, and because of all this difficulty, it fulfilled that prophecy. So in verse 23, so the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, he'll be called a Nazarene. This was all part of God's plan. I'm going to tell you something, the difficulty that you may be facing that is confronting your hope, God is going to use that difficult situation to refine you, as the Bible tells us, as silver and as gold. Do you hear me? I mean, when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, I mean, they didn't go right from Egypt. I mean, they didn't march for a couple of days and end up in the promised land. Now, yeah, some of that was their fault, right? I mean, there was a little bit that was their fault because they didn't believe God, and so they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. But still, the direct path, God didn't just take them straight over, but he took him to another place. Why? Because God wanted to reveal himself to them. Matter of fact, when God said, let my people go, that I'm going to be the deliverer, he didn't say that I'm going to bring freedom and for all these other things, but what he said was, so I'm going to bring them out of Egypt so that they can worship me, that they can get to know me, their God. And in that difficult place that's challenging your hope, you learn something about God. You learn about who he is. You learn more about his promises. You learn more about his strength. Come on, somebody. And then there's difficulty, but then there's a declaration that happens, that no matter what, you're going to keep with the decision. You're going to keep believing. Mary made a declaration. We see it in a song, which I think is a declaration. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary responded. And then if you read from 46 on, you read about her song of praise. But it says this, oh, my soul praises the Lord. There has to be a place that no matter what it looks like around you, that you lift your voice in declaration. That God is God, that God is your God, how great God is, that you declare God's mighty works, God's mighty deeds. So hope is always worth the wait. Hope knows that the possible is impossible. Number three is this, is that hope is an anchor for you. Hope is an anchor for you. In Hebrews 6:19, this hope is strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. And the thing that really just kind of popped out was in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. And it says this, for the word of God will never fail. The word of God will never fail. It will never fail. God's word will accomplish what it sent out to do. God's word will not return void. And the fourth and final thing this morning is this, is that hope expects it to happen. Hope expects it to happen. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, you know, I usually most of the time I you know, on our Sunday mornings, I use the New Living Translation. It's a dynamic equivalent, and I don't want to get all into that, but it's easy to read, easy to understand. And we read that in our text, Matthew or Luke chapter 1, verse 38, we read this. Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have be said about me come true." And the angel left. Remember, we used that verse talking about how that, you know, Mary at that moment, I mean, she made that decision. She said, "Okay, God, whatever you want to do in my life, here I am. However, whatever it looks like, whatever the cost, I'm with it, I'm in it, however you want to work it." But there's something else here that really jumps out because I'm kind of used to some of those more literal translations, and here's what I mean by that, and they're going to be on the screen. One is the ESV, and I want you to look what it says. "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord," and what does it say? Let it be. Let it be according to your word. Let it be according to your word. The New American Standard says the same thing. May it be done to me according to your word. So I'm emphasizing that word, it. The King James, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me." What I want you to know this morning is that hope expects the it to happen, whatever that it may be. Biblical hope is not only, it's not just wanting to desire something good, but it's something, when you have that biblical hope, that spiritual hope that grips you, you can expect it to happen. You see, there's things I can, well, in Psalm 42:5, I mean, think about our text. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. Why would we put our hope in God? Because we can expect that God will do what he said he would do. That God will fulfill the promise that he said he would promise. It doesn't matter what it may look like around us, God will fulfill it. He'll accomplish it. Hope will give you the strength that you need. It'll give you the strength that you need. I love that. Kind of our, I guess, humanistic, our natural definition, which I kind of like. There's this part of definition of hope: cling to the mere possibility. I mean, sometimes we feel like that, you know. But I'm going to tell you, if that's what it takes to hope, then hope. In human terms, we use hope this way. You know, I hope my spouse gets home early. I don't have any certainty that they really get to come home early, but I hope that they do. We speak it in terms, really, of uncertainty. I hope today that I finally get to go to eat at Torchy's Tacos. I don't know that I actually get to, but it's uncertain. But if you want to take me, I'm open. But it's based in a place of uncertainty. But that's not God's hope. God's hope is a thing of certainty. Hope is confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Wherever there is full assurance of hope, there is faith, and faith is the full assurance of hope. And what I'm trying to tell you is this, and I want to close with this verse. It's in Romans 5, chapter 5. And it's the latter part of verse 5, and it says this, "And hope will not disappoint us." You see, we are too used to living in a place of our hopes being disappointed, of those things we want to see come to pass, not coming to pass. But that's in the natural realm. When God steps on the scene, he can make impossible things possible. And hope is a thing of certainty. Because when God speaks it, when God promises it, you can stand on it. It doesn't matter the circumstance that comes against you. It doesn't matter the trial that comes against you. Yes, it is not fun, and it may be difficult, but if you make the decision and keep making the declaration by faith, God will bring about the fulfillment of your hope.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.